Good morning to everyone. Good to pray with you this morning. Good to have Father Ned with us this morning, coming back from Rome for summer. So thanks for being here, Father. Just a quick stat to begin today's homily. In the U.S., 75% of Catholics don't go to Mass. 3 out of every 4 American Catholics don't go to Mass. That's a catastrophic failure, not just a little one. That's a catastrophic failure on the part of the church. Because what it means is this: our own people don't know what is happening at Mass. Because if they really did, if they really knew what was happening right at this Mass, they'd never miss Mass. Not for lake time, not for a football game or a soccer tournament, not for hunting, not for a trip to Starbucks, not for extra sleep after a long week, not because the homily's boring, not because the pews are uncomfortable. You guys realize, by the way, how lame all those excuses sound? Those are so lame, right? To exchange the worship of the true God who gives himself to us, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, for any of those things. It's so lame. If people really knew, even in the city of Helena, even in our parish, looking at all the names we have on our parish rolls, we would need 7 Sunday Masses. And they'd all be packed if all our Catholics were going to Mass on Sunday. We wouldn't have a priest shortage. We'd be sending 3 or 4 men a year from this parish to the seminary. So clearly we're not getting it done. That's why we need to know John 6, backwards and forwards, inside and out. So here we are. We're in media res. We're in the middle of the thing. This is the 3rd Sunday of 5 Sundays. John 6, just walking through, step by step, the whole chapter. So let me jog your memory for a little bit. 2 weeks ago, Jesus kicks things off by multiplying the 5 loaves to feed 5,000 men and their families. So at least 20,000 people with the 5 loaves. And the people loved that. They actually want to take Jesus and make him king. Last week, just to jog your memory, Jesus ratchets things up by challenging the people to work not for food that perishes, but as Jesus says, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. The people like that. They say, "Sir, give us this bread always." Then Jesus takes it up another notch, and he says, "I am the bread of life. I am. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst." That's where we stopped last week. This point in John 6, there is a change in the dynamic between Jesus and the people. They loved what he was doing and what he was saying up till now. Because they want the bread. See, they want the thing that satisfies them. But God doesn't want to give them a thing. Jesus wants to give himself. Just for a second, think about that in your own life. How often do we want the things of God when really God wants to give us himself? I want peace. I want security. I want confidence. And God's like, yeah. But I want to give you me. I want to give you myself. Well, that stretches us. And Jesus is stretching the Jews today. That's where our gospel begins. It says, the Jews murmured about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They murmured. Another way to translate that would be grumble. They don't like this. Not only does it push them, but they don't like it. They say, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and mother? Then how can he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Just a quick note. The Jews realize that Jesus is saying something really, really bold. They're not mistaking his language. And Jesus is saying something really bold, that he came down from heaven, that this is the life of heaven, the life of God breaking in to this world. And that's going to push their understanding of him. It does. They murmur. They grumble. They don't like this kind of talk. But Jesus isn't having it. Jesus says, "Stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him." Here's a thing. Before we really dive into this, Jesus Christ is the full revelation of God. He is God himself, showing us who he is and then showing us how to follow him. Do you believe that? It's not a rhetorical question. Do you believe that? That Jesus is God? That he's the full revelation of God, that he shows us who God is, and that he shows us how to follow him. Do you believe that? Okay, if you don't, we have a lot of work to do. But if you do, you're saying this then. You're saying that we follow Jesus on his terms and not on ours. There is a constant temptation to make God fit our agenda, our attitude, our way of thinking. That is a constant temptation, fellow sinners. We all want to do that. We don't like to be pushed beyond our understanding of things, what makes us comfortable, what seems reasonable to us. But friends, Jesus came to do exactly that. That's exactly what he came to do. To take us beyond our limited way of thinking, to move us beyond where we seem to understand things, and to open us to new possibilities and new realities. We follow Jesus on his terms and not ours. So with that in mind, watch what Jesus does. He brings it, and he brings it hard. "Amen, amen, I say to you," which in John 6 is code for pay attention, listen up. "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat it and not die." We're talking about eternal life. We're talking about something that goes way beyond our natural capacity. Jesus goes on, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." Do you believe that? We take Jesus at his word. He is giving us eternal life. How? Through giving us his flesh, which will be offered for the life of the world. Go back to John 1 for a second, the famous prologue of John. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Okay. That prologue goes on. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." That's the incarnation. Jesus dwells among us. The Word takes on our human nature and dwells among us. But friends, when the Word dwelt among us, He didn't just come to preach and teach, even though he does that. He didn't just come to heal people and perform miracles, even though he does that. He didn't just come to cast out demons and set captives free, even though he does that. When the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us, he comes to do exactly this. I will give my flesh as bread for the life of the world. That's what he came to do. Jesus doesn't want to just dwell among us. He wants to give us his flesh as food, which is to say, he wants to give us his very self. Not just the things that he can bring, but himself. Do you believe that? Again, not a rhetorical question. Do you believe that? If you do, then you'll never miss another Sunday Mass the rest of your life. There will be nothing, nothing that would be more important to you than getting to Mass. And not only will you not miss a Sunday Mass the rest of your life, you'll start to clamor to come to Mass every single day. You'll change your schedule. You'll look, how could I possibly get to a daily Mass so that I can receive nothing less than God himself? If people really believe in the Eucharist, if Catholics really believe what's going on at Mass, this would look like this every daily Mass, this many people. Because what better do we have to do? What is a better thing to do with our time? That's, by the way, why we wouldn't have a priestly shortage. Because, young men, what would be better to do with your life, the one life that God gives you, than to bring God himself into the world to give to his people? Is there anything better? Well, here we go. This is the challenge. Now listen, I'm not preaching this Mass, the 11 o'clock next week, so I'm going to blow through this Sunday into next Sunday's gospel. Because we could think that maybe Jesus is just laying out a nice, slightly odd, maybe challenging metaphor about his flesh being food for the life of the world. No. The Jews know. They know exactly what Jesus is saying. They know that he means what he says when he talks about his flesh being given for the life of the world. Because next week, it picks up in verse 52, that the Jews quarreled among themselves. So this week they're murmuring, now they're quarreling, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And then what does Jesus do? Oh, hold on, it's just a metaphor. It's a nice turn of phrase just to get you thinking. Absolutely not. Here's verse 53 to 56. Jesus said to them, amen, amen, I say to you, which again means pay attention. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food. My blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. In those short verses, Jesus hammers home the point. He pounds it home. My flesh is true food. My blood is true drink. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. There's no room for a metaphorical reading of what Jesus says. He really, really means it. He really does make his body food for us. He really does make his blood drink for us. Do you believe that? Again, not a rhetorical question. Do you believe that? Because Jesus makes that reality happen at this and every Mass, at every single one. He created a way so that he could feed us with his very self. And friends, there's no food that substitutes for that. Nothing in this world. There is no food you could give yourself that would satisfy in the way that Jesus does. Only him. Nothing in this world. Not real food, not the metaphorical or symbolic food that we feed ourselves with in terms of chasing money and fame and power and reputation. None of that satisfies the hunger of the human heart. But Jesus does. And he gives himself to us at this Mass, at every Mass. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Because if you do, everything in your life will change. Everything in your life will change. So my prayer for you, my prayer for myself, Father Ned, is that all of us at this Mass would come to believe, that we would truly believe that Jesus gives himself to us, body, blood, soul, and divinity, that he gives us his body as food, his blood as drink, that he gives himself to us at this Mass in the Eucharist. Do you believe that?